the Diamond Discussions Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. I think we're a little bit of official now.
Yeah, we have a jingle. That's amazing. Could you believe it? We're about as official as a referee's whistle right now.
That's a wild way to start it. I love it. But all right, so normally we open up with the trivia stuff and we go into the teams and all that. But we have to address something because you and I have upset a very loyal listener to us and has become a pretty decent friend of ours, our buddy Bill, a.k.a. Fuzzy. We did a bunch of shout-outs last week. We mentioned a few of the guys that listen, some of our loyal listeners. LJ took a lot of that airtime because of some of the comments that he made regarding me, trying to convert me to a Yankee fan, which, again, LJ, I will remind you, will not happen, but I digress. But Fuzzy had made a response video to our sound off about Juan Soto. Now, you had made comments that you were going to find a report that Juan Soto is in a deli somewhere eating a rainbow bagel.
Right.
Fuzzy took offense to that.
Right.
Because Fuzzy likes rainbow bagels.
He loves rainbow bagels. He's a rainbow bagel enthusiast at this point.
He is.
Yeah.
And he was upset. And then he was upset at the fact that we didn't talk about it. So I made him a promise that we would obnoxiously bring him up throughout the rest of this episode, which will happen. So, Fuzzy, this is your shout-out. We love you. We appreciate the fact that you listen to us as much as you do. You tell us constantly how much you can't wait for the next episode, which is, like, awesome. Never would have thought we would ever have a person that we didn't know initially.
Right.
That would be excited to listen to us, as excited as we are to actually record it. So that's cool. So Fuzzy, this is your shout out. Again, loyal listener to the show, becoming a very good friend of ours and a friend of the show itself. Fuzzy, here's your shout out. And I promise you, it's going to get obnoxious. But moving on, we have to obviously discuss our trivia question from last week, which we are very proud of a lot of you because quite a few of you have gotten this answer right. Joe, remind everybody what the question is.
So the question from last week was, who was the youngest MVP award winner? And the answer is Vida Blue.
Vida Blue.
I know that might have been a tough one for some people. You know, the era is from it's about 40 years, you know.
More.
40, 50 years, yeah. So I know sometimes that could trip people up. I did get a couple of responses from people saying it's got to be somebody from back in the day. So a lot of people didn't actually give me an answer. They were just like stumped on the question. And they knew it wasn't, at least a lot of people knew that it wasn't somebody from, you know, the modern era. But I didn't get a lot of actual answers. Just like, yeah, I know it's got to be somebody from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. And not really actual responses. So yeah, I knew this was going to kind of happen. But yeah, the answer is Vida Blue. He's the youngest MVP winner of all time in baseball history. So, and you just stay tuned for the next question later on at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah, Vida,
that's the answer, Vida Blue.
Filthy left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
A lot of his time with the A's, he was part, I believe he was part of some of those championship runs.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy, absolute filth from the left-hand side. So like I said, believe you told me LJ got that right?
So LJ, we were at the Yankee game and he had mentioned to me that he had an answer for the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And he had mentioned it was Vida Blue. So he was the only one for me that got the answer right. Like I said, a bunch of other people just didn't know that it was somebody from this era. They thought they right. knew it was somebody from the old era, just couldn't actually get me an actual answer.
So my dad got the question right.
Oh, nice.
And he called me up about it, and he's like, I have the answer. He goes, but I have two. He goes, can I give you both? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So he was torn between the two, but he was leaning in Vida's way. And his other answer, where he was a little torn, was actually Frank Robinson.
Okay, that's so, not a horrible answer.
That, no, not at all. I would have to look into that to see if he, at the time he might have been, because I believe he was before Vida. But he definitely leaned on the Vida side of it, so that's a right answer in my book. We've had it in the comments where someone typed out that they were leaning one way and both way, and they ended up leaning towards the right answer. So we accept that. That's cool.
That's fine with me,
And you guys, we appreciate you. Some of you have understood the assignment. Our comments got a few extra on the last episode, and we're going to keep pushing that. We could use the comments because it's going to help boost our algorithm to get this podcast going and get it to where we want it to go. And we need you guys to help us get there. So, you know, listen, with your commenting on the answers or maybe something that maybe you enjoyed from the show, a funny moment or whatever it is, like, I don't know, shouting out Fuzzy obnoxiously probably 700 times throughout, you know, throughout this episode. Shout out Fuzzy. But we're going to move on to our teams. Yankees and Mets, we had some interesting things go on over the weekend. Your Yankees...
Yeah, lost two out of three.
Happened.
It's okay. Listen, it happens. They did give up 27 runs in three games, which is not something that I'm often, you know, I'm often used to seeing with this pitching staff. They usually don't get creamed like this. Mm-hmm. But Boston's problem was never their offense; it was their pitching and defense. Yeah. They rank actually towards the bottom of the league in defense, right next to the Colorado Rockies. So. They're very defensively, you know, not efficient in that aspect of the game, but they do hit. Yeah. So, if you're going to get them, you got to get them. You know, in the run game and defensively, and that bullpen is not too great.
No, they're terrible.
The Yankees scored runs in this series; they just weren't able to not give up runs. So, Rodon gave up five runs. You know, he had a bad inning. Boston had a big inning in the fifth there.
They scored. He gave up a couple home runs.
Yeah, he did. He gave up two home runs. They scored six runs in that inning. And we were just playing catch-up all, you know, the rest of that game yesterday. So the rest of the weekend, look, you know, we were in most of the games. We did score a bunch of runs. We just couldn't keep them off the base pits. And we couldn't keep, you know, keeping them from scoring. And they and every time we came back, they seemed to answer right back. So that was another big thing that... I had noticed in this, you know, this weekend. Am I concerned? No, I'm not really concerned. They're still 8.5 back. Yeah. Tampa did win today, so they picked up a game. Toronto looks pretty good, so they're right there. They're about 4.5, 5 out. So, am I concerned? Like I said, no, not really. But yeah, you would have liked to see that pitching staff maybe clean some things up. But other than that, the offense was there. We did leave a couple guys on base. That has to be addressed. You know, we can't keep leaving guys on base. It's kind of killing big innings and double plays and so on and so forth. But, you know, when you score 5, 6, 7 runs, you expect to win ball games. But, you know, the pitching wasn't there, and kudos to Boston. They were able to get some big hits, and every time the Yankees got close, they kept pulling away. So kudos to them. They won 2 out of 3, and we'll see them obviously again. So I'm not really too concerned.
My biggest thing was, and it was impressive, but it was almost somewhat a waste. I mean, you guys... hit up on Crochet a little bit, and he's been pretty dominant all season
so far. He gave up 5 runs, and we still couldn't get the win. So,
my favorite thing, you watched that game?
Yes, I did.
All right, so did you hear the point in the commentary when they were talking about Crochet, and they were like, oh, you know, this is great from Crochet. You know, he really settled in. Hold on. I don't think I'd consider him settling in. Settling in would have been he gave up the 3-run shot in, what, the third inning?
Yes.
Okay. Gives up the 3-run shot. If he were to go scoreless and hitless for the rest of the game, that would be Crochet settling in. Not 2 or 3 innings later giving up another couple of runs. I think his total was 5.
5 for the night, yeah.
So, to me, that's not necessarily settling in.
I thought it was one of his worst starts of the year. I agree with that. You know, he's been great, and I know a lot of people are giving him flack for some reason, saying that he's not pitching against great teams in the AL to start off the first half of the year. How is that his fault? He doesn't make the schedule. I mean, the guy's ERA was under two, was a little bit under 2, I believe, going into that game, and even with that bad start, I think he ended up with like a 2.3 ERA.
Yeah.
So even with him giving up 5 runs, he still has a better ERA than 18 other pitchers in the league. So I'm not really too sure why people are giving him flack. I mean, I know they'd be giving him flack if he wasn't pitching good against those bad teams, because then you'd be saying, oh my God, we invested all this money and he can't pitch against teams like the White Sox and, you know, some other teams maybe lower in the West and, you know, maybe teams like Baltimore. No, he hasn't struggled. He's been pitching pretty decent.
No, he's been great.
He's 6-4. I know he's got four losses, and four losses is hard to, you know, understand with the,
but
you
with know, an ERA
with
a
2 ERA. So, you know, you'd probably think like, oh, he should be like 7-1 like Max Fried. Yeah, he probably should be. If his bullpen was a little bit more trustworthy, like I was saying before, he'd probably have 9 or 10 wins maybe.
Potentially.
A little bit more trusted bullpen. And, yeah, he has to go longer in games when he gives up 5 runs because you can't trust the bullpen. So, other than that, I mean, like I said, Boston's problem is not their offense. It's their defense and their pitching. And kudos to them for giving it up. But, yeah, like you just alluded to, with that report, I mean, he wasn't settling in. He didn't look like he was settled. Even when they were, you know, up early in the game, he still allowed the Yankees to come back, and he gave up 2 more runs on top of those 3 that he gave up earlier. So I didn't think it was a really great start overall for Crochet.
No, like, I agree with you. I think this is probably one of his worst of the season. And to be honest, it really wasn't that terrible. But listen, for your offense, that's impressive because this guy has been one of the more dominant pitchers in the American League. I mean, you're potentially looking at a situation come the end of the season. If things continue down this road, you're looking at a Max Fried, Garrett Crochet, maybe a Jacob deGrom in that mix.
Yeah, 100%. And Rodon had a chance to really cement his name in the top five.
Yeah.
And he probably ruined that a little
Schuble,
bit.
Schuble, obviously, Schuble's in that mix. I mean, the Cy Young race towards the end, if things continue down the road that they are, another one, Hunter Brown. I don't want to leave him out because he's been fantastic.
Another one that lacks run support when he goes out there.
You're talking about five or six guys that legitimately could be in the mix for the Cy Young. I know you mentioned Rodon. It's crazy to see, and it's going to be very interesting going down. You know, listen, I like you guys remember Crochet was my pick for Cy Young, so I kind of want to be right, and honestly, I do enjoy him. I like watching him pitch. I think he's
he's been
disgusting.
He's been doing great. I mean, it was his first. I mean, listen, I really haven't dived into Crochet's starts about the type of teams that he's pitched against. I know a lot of people have been chirping, like I said before, that he's been pitching against weaker opponents.
Yeah.
So if you want to call the Yankees his first real test, it wasn't
the best. He's faced the White Sox twice.
Right. Well, and listen. I'm sure he beat them twice. Did he beat them twice? Okay.
He actually had a no hitter going, and one of the guys that he was traded for broke up the no hitter.
Yes, I remember that. And look, he's got to go out. He's getting paid to beat those teams anyway, so you got to go beat those teams whether you like it or not. They're on the schedule because, like I said, everybody would be talking crap about him if he didn't beat those teams.
Exactly.
And that goes for every pitcher, big name pitcher. So look, I'm not worried about the way the Yankees played. I think they were just, a little bit lacking when it came to getting extra runners on base and getting those guys in. They had a couple of innings where they scored 2 to 3 runs. They could have scored more and didn't. So that we just have to clean up. And the bullpen didn't look too hot either. So, I mean, other than that, listen, it's 3 games against Boston. It's always a battle. So I'm not upset that we lost 2 out of 3. I'm really not.
Yeah, for the first series of this rivalry to start the season, I don't think it was all that big. It was interesting, a little back and forth. Maybe some stuff we didn't expect. I know Yarbrough has been pretty solid for you guys. He did not rise to the occasion. He gave up, I believe, 8 runs in that Saturday start. And that could have been the difference because you, like I said, it was almost wasted the fact that you guys did get the Crochet. He gave up 5 runs and he snuck out of it because Yarbrough really wasn't himself. He didn't look like he has in his past couple of starts, because he's been pretty solid for you guys.
Yeah, he's been excellent. I'm not going to ever get upset at Yarbrough having a bad start because I didn't really expect him to be this good.
No.
So I don't want to give up, I don't want to get my hopes up every time he goes out there to say, oh, I know he's going to give us 6 innings of 1-run ball, but, it's okay for him to have a bad start. Maybe he gets out of the way now and it could translate into a better start coming up. I know the Yankees have the Royals coming up next in Kansas City, so that's going to be a big series. I'd like to jump back on, the winning train and get, 2 out of 3 from them because they've been playing pretty decent baseball. So
their offense has been struggling.
Their offense is definitely
shrieky. But they brought up their number one prospect, Caglione.
Yep, Caglione, he went 4-4 yesterday. He ripped it up big time. So he's been looking pretty good. But look, like I said, I'm not worried. I know the Yankees could come back and pitch a little bit better, and you know that'd be great to score the same amount of runs that they did against Boston. They scored 9, 7, and 7 again tonight. So you know they put up a decent amount of runs. So listen, like I said, the bullpen needs to clear up a little bit. I didn't like the way the bullpen pitched in some spots. Like I said, there was a lot of comebacks the Yankees were making, and the bullpen gave up a couple of runs in the late innings, and I think that's something that we have to fix, and I'm pretty confident that we can fix that as the season progresses, obviously.
Yeah. Listen, it's still sort of early. We're getting closer to the halfway point, but it's, listen, we got a long way to go. We have a long way to go. This is only the first time you guys have faced Boston. There's going to be plenty more of this. There's going to be plenty more banter back and forth. Shout out Fuzzy, by the way, in case you guys didn't remember. Just to throw that out there.
Team Everything Bagels. Sorry.
Yeah. Rainbow Bagel. The enthusiast. But Yankee fans, comment section, please, if you can, on the podcast itself, on Instagram, on Twitter. Let us know how you feel about this series. Are you heartbroken that you lost 2 out of 3 at home to your, you know, beloved Red Sox? I know how much you guys love the Red Sox. But no, really. What are your thoughts there? Are you concerned at all? Did anything happen that maybe was eye-boggling to you outside of, I don't know, again, Aaron Judge hitting 2 home runs for you guys in the same game? That is now, I want to say, the second game in a row that he's hit 2 home runs and you guys have actually lost, because that happened against the Dodgers where it was the Dodgers 18 and Aaron Judge 2, which was insanity. You know, so, I mean, that's, you know, it's also a shame, but listen, this is how it goes, you know. This is how this game that we love so much plays out all the time. But, like I said, guys, in the comment section, if you can, just give us your thoughts there. Before we get to the Mets, shout out Fuzzy, but, no, really, wow, the Mets, see, they decided to destroy Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Colorado was bad, but thanks for really showing what you were about. But listen, that's a series that you had to take at, you know, minimum 2 out of 3 and or sweep, and you did.
Yeah, and
that's
they swept the entire series for the season.
And,
so.
And
the,
yeah, and there you go.
As you should.
So that's 6-0 they finished?
Yeah.
So then there you go. They did their job. 4-2 to me, you know, would have been the minimum. But 6-0 is obviously where you want to be. So kudos to the Mets. They pitched very well, and you know they were able to get timely hitting. And I see that Soto had a big day today too. I think he was 3 for 3, and he had 3 walks, I believe, as well.
First time in his career, he has reached base safely 6 times in a game.
Yeah, so you know, obviously Colorado's got issues. Yeah, you know, listen, Soto is Soto, and I'm not taking anything away from him. Obviously, getting on base 6 times is impeccable, but. Colorado's got some issues over there. They're letting guys get on base a little bit too easy over there. 3 base hits and 3 walks. I mean, geez.
Alonso, another day. 2 more home runs to his total. You know, to the naysayers out there about Alonso, I've seen stories. I've seen other podcasters say something along the lines of Soto's going to walk 150 times in a season, and Alonso's going to hit 240 just to pop the ball up to third base. Well, Alonso's hitting 300, and he leads the National League in RBIs.
He leads the league in RBIs.
The league in total.
I think he's got 3 more than Judge.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's got 57, and Judge after tonight has 54.
So I'm actually looking.
Excuse me, 55. He had 2 two-run home runs, so he had 4 RBIs. He's at 55 now. So I believe he's got 2 more than Judge.
Well, no, because Devers was right behind Alonso. I don't know if his totals have matched up. But
So maybe Judge is 3, Devers is 2, and Alonso is 1.
Yeah, what I'm seeing right here is that Alonso is in the league. League-wide.
Yeah.
League-wide. This guy is on pace for over 130 RBIs for the season. So for the people that have mentioned what Alonso may or may not do, maybe Alonso is benefiting, like, I guess, how Yankee fans like to throw at us, how Soto benefited from hitting in front of Judge last year.
It's the truth, though. It's literally what's happening.
And Alonso is benefiting from having Soto in front of him. And the funny part is, Soto has finally just started to get it going.
Right.
You know, the other thing about it is, I know Yankee fans especially have loved the fact, not you, obviously, but the other ones love the fact to say how miserable he looked and everything else. And now all of a sudden, it seems to look like the guy's having fun and he's, you know, being himself. We got a little shuffle out in L.A. So maybe my theory that we both discussed really wasn't all that crazy, that maybe he was just a little miserable or a little gloom or glum, however some of you have put out there. We'll get to that later. But maybe it was because he was underperforming and not because he was miserable being in a Mets uniform. Maybe he just had that attitude and that aura because he was not performing.
Right, he was upset about his performance.
And now he's playing better and look, the personality is there. He's having fun. He's smiling. He's doing all this crap that you guys said he wasn't doing. Well, he was playing bad. And I don't know. Does that add up to you?
Listen, I don't want to see anybody struggle and have to go through, you know, speculation, because it just makes everybody look silly when they speculate, not really knowing what's actually going on. But when it comes to the human element of life, forget about baseball. If you're struggling at your job, or
it's going to get to you,
having something in your life go on,
it's going to get to you.
It's going to get to you at your job. It's going to get to you in your work. He wasn't performing at his job. It was getting to him.
Of course.
He woke up every day.
And he's a major competitor.
I need to change this. I got to change this. How do I change this? And he was going through the adjustments. He's on a new team. He's back in the National League after leaving for a year. He's faced a lot of backlash from Yankee fans. He's faced a lot of backlash in general for switching from the Yankees to the Mets. And I think it's just it's pathetic that we've had to go through some of the things that we've had to go through, but we had to go through them, right? I guess it was only natural, but it's natural for anybody on any team, in any market, in any city, that if you're not playing well, it's going to affect you. You're not going to feel like you're yourself. You're not going to feel you're at your best, and it's going to affect you in your work. So the only way to come out of that is to focus on your work and get better every day. And that's what he's doing. This is the first time he's really struggled for this amount of time. And if he's coming out of it now, this is the best time to come out of it.
Yeah.
Mid-June, come out of
it. Let's go. Monsters out of the cage. Yeah, let's go.
And then him and Alonso now hot at the same time. I mean, that's what you paid for.
Absolutely.
So, and the Phillies better watch out. If the Phillies aren't going to keep up, and I know they lost a couple of one-run games against Pittsburgh.
I think they've lost 8 out of their last 9. They looked atrocious.
And Atlanta just fell back even more. I mean, they are completely, almost put the nail in the coffin on their season. I mean, they're probably completely done now. There was a glimmer of hope maybe for a wild card, but I think that's long gone.
They were showing signs that they were going to come out of it, and then getting Strider back, getting Acuna, and they completely went south.
They had got to 500, and it was like, okay, now let's make that second jump, and they just could never get that jump. I think they lost 7 in a row at one point.
Yeah.
And listen, the Mets have a chance to really make a headway in the NL East, and if Soto's going to get hot, this is the time to get hot. And the same thing for Alonso. If he's going to stay like this for a couple of more weeks, you may blink, and at the end of June, the Mets may have a 6 or 7 game lead.
Well, right now they have a 4.5 game lead over Philly. So, yeah, and just a few weeks ago, not even, they were down to Philly by 3 games.
Right.
So we're at a 7.5 game swing here. So I'm loving it. And Atlanta is 10 games under 500. 14 out.
Wild. It's really wild.
And I
mean, we both did predict that they weren't going to make the playoffs.
And we got killed for that.
I did not say to anybody that they were going to be 10 games.
No. I did not say that they'd be behind the Nationals.
No.
Neither one of us. Because that's exactly what the Nationals are in third place. They're 5 games under 500.
That's unbelievable.
But Atlanta, that has been, I don't know, is it them or Baltimore kind of the most disappointing team?
It's got to be Atlanta at this point, because we kind of knew Baltimore was going to be like that, due to the fact that they made no moves. Atlanta, they always kind of regenerate and they bring up some good talent and they'll make a couple of good signings, and that just didn't happen. And you know, their offense really didn't, you know, produce and score runs, and their pitching sometimes is iffy. They've been inconsistent at the wrong times, and if their offense is going, if their pitching isn't, if their pitching is going, their offense isn't. So, it's just been an up and down roller coaster season.
They've
had
riddled with injury.
Like I said, they started off 0-8. They bounce all the way back. They get back to 500, and now look, they're back down 10 games under 500, and staring at three different teams in the division now.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I can't say that I necessarily feel bad on that aspect. But what I can say, I mean, we're talking about some struggles here with the Soto stuff and Atlanta and Philly here. I can give you a situation or at least a group that has not struggled, and it's four out of the Mets starters here for this season. For the first time since 1985 through 65 games, the Mets have four starting pitchers that have a sub-3 ERA. The last time it was done, like I mentioned, 1985, that was Doc Gooden, Ron Darling, Sid Fernandez, and Ed Lynch. And this list is Kodai Senga, David Peterson, Griffin Canning, and this is my favorite one, Clay Holmes.
It's so funny because he gave up 9 hits, I think. Did he pitch today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
So I believe his start, he gave up 9 hits, but he only gave up 1 run.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen a line like that. You give up 9 hits in 6 innings and you only gave up 1 run. That means
he didn't walk anybody.
That's crazy.
And he did not walk anybody.
9 hits, no walks, and he only gave up 1 run. So he was getting out of it. He probably had a lot of multiple guys on base, I'm sure, in a couple of innings, and he was able to get out of it. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. I can't even lie about that.
And honestly, shout out Kodai Senga. He has the best ERA in baseball at a 1.59 over 68 innings, 65 strikeouts with a 1.1 whip. This guy has been as good as I expected him to be. And again,
he's another guy that doesn't get run support, though. I see a lot of games where he's got like one or two runs. He comes out of the game with like one or two runs.
But he has been unbelievable. And I even got killed for that, too, when I said that he was a true ace or whatever it is. I know the Japanese thing, he only goes once a week. So do you call him a true ace? Do you not? Listen, I don't know.
When he goes out there, he's pitching well. He's
dominant.
Yeah.
He is dominant. And another one, David Peterson has been fantastic. He has been fantastic. It's and to me, the biggest surprise out of all of them, I expected Clay Holmes to be fairly decent. I've mentioned that countless amount of times before the season even started, during spring training, all that. The biggest shock out of everybody on this list, Griffin Canning.
100%.
This kid had almost a 7 ERA last year with the Angels.
He had like a 5 ERA career.
And he's under a 3 right now. Now, is this sustainable? I obviously hope so. It seems like this staff is the real deal.
He's gone through a third of the season already. And
the crazy thing is, we're still two pitchers out that we're getting back.
Right, Montas and Minaya. Yeah.
And the best part about this is, the fact that the rest of the staff is pitching the way that they are, there's no rush to get these guys back.
No, you could actually
take
rehab
your time,
them. Yeah.
Rehab them how they need to be rehabbed. Now, there have been people that actually have come after me a little bit because of their stat lines down in the minor leagues. Are you crazy? Are we really doing that? Yeah, Montas got roughed up in AAA, AA, High A. He's working on his stuff.
Right, he's trying to get his confidence.
He's doing spring training
right now.
His
confidence up a little bit, yeah.
He's playing with his pitches. He just wants to get length. This is what they do. For anybody that has come at me about that, I mean, please get your head checked. Because what? They're coming back from injury. They're tinkering with their stuff. This is spring training for them.
And these are still professional baseball players he's pitching to, even though they're not in the majors. Right. They're still professional baseball players.
Right. Sean Manaea got the money he did because he's awful in the minor leagues coming off an injury. I mean, come on. Blackburn has been back. He's been fairly decent. He had a
good start against the Dodgers, I know that.
Yeah. And I said it on the last episode. That was the game I wanted to steal. I wanted that game, and the Mets kind of stole that game, to be honest. Funny thing is about that Dodgers series. Overall, played the Dodgers 7 games. You can't tell me for a second that the Mets couldn't have won all 7 of those games.
They were in every single one of them.
Every single one. There was 3 games that went into extra innings. The Mets lost 2 out of 3 of those. Some of which should have been different. I'd mentioned it before, and it really does bother me. It's like one of those that, like, all right, instead of being 4-3 against them, we could have been 5-2.
Yeah, but 4-3 wins the series.
It does. It does. But I wanna bury them. Listen,
all you gotta do is win 4 games. I understand you wanna bury them, but they are such a good team. It's the depth that they have, even when they're injured, it's just unbelievable. So the fact that you won the season series, kudos to you guys. But all you need is 4. So think about it. If this was the playoffs, you'd be advancing.
Now, everybody gave Nimmo a lot of flack for the fly ball he didn't catch hit by Freddie Freeman. Guys, again, Freddie Freeman is a dog at the plate. Besides that fact, left-handed hitter going the opposite way to left field, that ball is going to tail away from you. And sometimes it hangs up and it stays like it's right at you, and then at the last second it just tails off. It happens. I'm not going to necessarily bury Nimmo for this, but it was frustrating.
It was an in-between play. His footwork looked like he was kind of...
Because that ball clearly started to tail.
Yeah, and you started to go. It was also a rocket. I mean,
yeah, it's Freddie Freeman going the opposite way, and he goes with authority.
Right,
he lines the line drives. He goes with the other way. I don't remember which. It might have been us. It might have been our commentators. Gary, Keith, and Ron. Somebody had mentioned throughout one of those games that teams are still shifting against Freddie Freeman, and they don't understand why. You know what? I don't either, because he can go anywhere with the ball.
You have to play him straight up, because he could, like you said, you have to play him straight up.
It makes no sense to me. I don't understand why you're giving...
He's not pull happy. He's not... He doesn't.
He can do whatever he wants at any given moment.
Exactly. You're 100% right.
But,
and I know that for a fact.
Before I get to the game that really did frustrate me, shout out Fuzzy.
We told you, Fuzz.
The game that really frustrated me was the first one. I mentioned on the last show the Acuna game. They're going into the 10th, Acuna was the ghost runner. Lindor, who's been a amazing in clutch moments, especially in the late game, extra innings, ninth inning, he always seems to be a part of that moment. So I don't want to get mad that it happened this way, because Lindor seems to live for these moments. But you have a guy on second base who has a ton of speed. Get him the third, hit a fly ball, end the game.
Right.
Enough with heroics. It doesn't need to happen. Just get the win. Steal that win. And to have Acuna be your ghost runner in a tie ball game, that's a gift.
Right. There's enough speed there. He could score on a fly ball.
That's a gift.
He could even score on a shallow fly ball.
Yeah. Bunt him over. Get him to third base.
I'm with you.
And now that's what I'm saying, that this could have been a 5-2 instead of a 4-3. But again, we won the series. We played the Dodgers very well. Now, I will say their pitching staff has been depleted by injury. They're not. They're missing Snell. They're missing Glass now.
Gonsolin's back on the IL again.
Gonsolin just went down, even though he did start against us, but it was not a great start.
Roki, nobody knows when he's coming back.
Yeah, Roki's out. So they're dealing with some adversity in the rotation.
I don't want to say, oh, yeah, let it happen to you.
No, but I'm not going
to
do that.
Look at what the Yankees and the Mets have had to deal with injury-wise to the rotation.
Of course.
Okay, and both teams are in first place.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
The Mets have dealt with it in the rotation. Dodgers, some guys in the lineup. The Dodgers, guys have been somewhat underperforming. Some of the hitters, a little bit.
I think they only have a 2-game lead in the division right now, the Dodgers.
Last I saw it was a game.
So isn't it crazy how all three of those teams that have had all these injuries, they're still in first place?
Yeah. But again, this is going to go back down to the pitching.
So what does that tell you for the teams like the Giants and Arizona?
Those teams are in the middle. Giants and San Diego, at least.
And looking up at a team that's depleted with their pitching, and they're still in first.
Yeah. Their offense is lethal.
It is. It's lethal. But, I mean, if your pitching is not as good as your, it's
Freddie Freeman had probably the best May you could possibly wish for.
Oh, no, you're 100% right.
I think he hit over 400.
But if your pitching is not there, it's going to be tough to keep it up. It's usually very hard, but they've gotten more good pitched games than they've had bad games with the staff that they put out there. So, listen, I know they only have a 2-game lead, but kudos to them for still being able to have a 2-game lead with the amount of teams that have been good in that division. So, they're just scary. They're overall scary. So, the fact that you guys won...
Because when they get right...
Yeah, and when you win the series, look, I'm not taking anything away from the Mets winning that series. I don't care who's pitching.
They played the Dodgers.
They are that good.
They went head-to-head. That was a head-to-head. That was a heavyweight fight.
And I was upset, too, when the Yankees lost 2 out of 3. They could have won 2 out of 3, the Yankees. They should have won the first game they played against them. And that's something that they always do against this team. They seem to jump out to a lead, and then somehow something goes wrong.
Yeah.
We have...
That second game was obviously a wash. That was just
didn't show up. They were completely. I don't know what that was.
Now how would you feel? Obviously, if you win the series, obviously it's just listen. We won the series. End of the story. But let's say you guys do take that first game and you take 2 out of 3. But that middle game still is what it is. I almost feel like the series there is kind of like even.
No, because you still won two. I know it's
two for one, but that's a devastating loss. That's bad.
It is, especially because of the night before. The way the night before had happened, the way they were up 5-2 and they lose 8-5, and then you come out the next day and you get completely slaughtered. Yes. If they would have won the first game and lose that way the second game, listen, those games happened. You say, okay, whatever, it happened. This is just how things are sometimes. They should have won 2 out of 3. You have to, when you're up 5-2 in that situation, you got to be able to.
That lineup is lethal.
Yeah, it's very lethal, but you got to be able to find a way to put them away. You do.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what I'm so impressed with the Mets in this situation because, you know, it wasn't like a crazy amount of offense in throughout the 7 games. Like, listen, guys did their thing, but the Mets pitching was the most impressive to me because that lineup is so lethal top to bottom. And I don't want to say the Mets kept them at bay, but they were in every game. That's what I'm saying. Like they easily could have swept the entire thing from the Dodgers. Now, that's a very tall task, but the fact that they were even in the possibility of that being a reality is impressive enough to me. I'll take it. But again, we're in June playing a team that has a monster amount of injuries to a substantial talent level of their pitching staff.
Right, right. And top guys. They're not just guys.
You're missing a two-time Cy Young Award winner. You're missing a guy like Glasnow that when he's on, he is disgusting.
They're missing Blake Treinen. He's on the 60-day IL. I mean, they got guys that are out.
Yeah.
And now Gonsolin, who you thought was going to be back, is out.
Now he's on his, you know, like you said, he's back on the shelf. So, you know, it just seems like it's cloudy over
and
there.
It's not looking good for Gonsolin because it's shoulder soreness. So when you hear that.
I thought it was elbow.
No,
shoulder?
I could have swore it said shoulder, but whatever it is, it's
either arm. Either one, it's not good.
It's arm related, it's not so good. He's in trouble.
He's just coming off Tommy John surgery. Yeah. That's not good.
He's in trouble.
So, and that's a guy they were going to rely on down the stretch, obviously. You know, maybe when they went 6-man or whatever the case was, but, and even Roki too, you don't want to see that from them.
No.
But Yamamoto dealt with it a little last year. From what I remember, I want to say right around the same time. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was middle of the season.
But yeah, I feel like it was somewhere around the same time. You know, I mean, unfortunately, like for us, with maybe it's a Japanese thing with these guys coming over. But listen, we missed Senga all of last year. He pitched 5 innings.
I know.
All of last year.
I was surprised he even got thrown into the playoffs last year.
We've done that one before.
That was crazy to me to put somebody in that position. It was like the Yankees did that with Montas. He didn't pitch all year. He comes in, he's pitching against Houston in the ALCS. It's like... It's like, what are we doing? You can't throw these guys into the fire. They haven't pitched all year, but that's another story for another day. But, yeah, like I said, listen, they won 4 out of 7 against the Dodgers, and if you're going to see, in order to get to the World Series, you're going to see them in the playoffs, unless somebody knocks them out in the first round where you don't have to worry about it. But they are going to be there. So
listen,
it doesn't matter
who's
hurt, doesn't matter what, they're going to be there.
Right now, season ends on in both leagues. It seems like the road might be through New York. To get there. And obviously LA. You know they're going to be there. We know the juggernaut they could be. And yeah, unfortunately, they're dealing with the injuries, but they're going to get these guys back.
Yeah.
And they're going to be fresh come playoff time. You know, Snell's less than all these guys.
And they're still maintaining a first place lead without them. So.
Yeah, and it's not like San Diego is a slouch of a team. San Francisco is still in the mix. They haven't fallen off. They're right there.
Which is wild. I mean, we're approaching...
That's another surprise of the season. I didn't expect them to be where they are.
No. We're approaching 60 games, and they're a game and a half out.
And look, I'll tell you guys this. If I remember my list right, I want to say I didn't have the Padres making it. I had Arizona over both teams.
I had Arizona because their pitching was so much deeper, I thought.
And now Corbin Burns is done for the year. Another TJ.
See you later. They're in trouble. They've been in trouble since even before
they have underperformed so much because their lineup is stacked top to bottom, in my opinion.
And you want to talk about a team
and their
that
staff.
Has gotten us duped? Forget the Baltimore. Arizona's going to be up there now.
Yeah, they're in that territory.
We kind of expected Baltimore and all these other teams to kind of slack off.
Arizona, we picked it as a 1B to the Dodgers.
I said that the Dodgers were going to win the division by 3 or 4 games. I thought that Arizona was going to be right there. Foolish of me to say that, I guess, now. Because even before the injuries, they just weren't playing well.
And you know what the funny thing is? It seems... Look, to me, Arizona hasn't played their best baseball yet. because they're not getting a combination of the best at the same time.
That's correct.
They're not getting a good start with great hitting. And
Zach Gallen's been off. He hasn't been himself.
He only pitches good against New York, apparently.
It's been very weird. Brandon Pfaadt gave up 43 runs in the first inning the other day. What was that about? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, but shout out Fuzzy.
I think he was. He was. Did you see that meme? It was Brandon Pfaadt pitched a yes hitter.
Yeah. I did.
He was
that
the
was
first
good.
Pitcher to pitch a yes hitter, and that means he actually didn't record an out in the first inning, and I think he gave up 8 hits and 6 runs.
Eight runs. He was responsible for 8.
He didn't record an out, no. So it was a yes hitter. So he's the first pitcher to pitch a yes hitter. So
maybe not. I would love to look at
these guys are the guys that got Arizona into the playoffs and into the World Series in 2023.
Yeah.
And now they're just not... They're not coming around, so...
And the addition of Corbin Burns now, obviously he's out.
Rodriguez has not been great. Eduardo Rodriguez, he hasn't been great. Montgomery hasn't been pitching because he's been hurt. They just haven't been good.
Another one at TJ.
And Burns now, it's... I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy, but...
Arizona's in a situation, if they continue down these lines, they, you know, you could be looking at a potential seller there,
yeah.
And they have a ton of talent this that a lot of teams are going to use.
This is
going
to be a big month for them. If they're 5 or 6 games on the 500 and they're like 6 games out, they may be selling.
I'll tell you this, you as a Yankee fan, you're going to want Arizona to fall off because guess what you need?
Eugenio
a third baseman.
Eugenio Suarez.
Yep. The way he's been mashing, I know he's only hitting like 230, but he always does that.
That's okay.
But he mashes.
That's okay. We need another power bat and a right-handed bat, which he is. So
that might be something.
And
to
look at. May not have to give up a lot of prospects for a guy like him because he's a little bit older and he's not a top echelon guy. Even though he does mash, like I said, he's got the ability to hit 30 homers. You may not have to give up much for him.
No, maybe not.
So it's going to be interesting. The deadline's going to be interesting, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Especially for the Yankees and Mets. It's going to be very interesting to see what both teams do. I think, me personally, the Yankees are going to go after at least one bullpen arm, maybe two, and a position player. So you may see 2 or 3 moves. And I think the Mets may go after a back-end starter. And
I don't even think they do that.
I even think they may go after a bullpen guy.
The bullpen guy, they need a lefty. Minter down for this season.
I can see them going after a bullpen guy and maybe like another guy, another starter who's like a low-level guy that could give you 5 or 6 innings. Like
a Blackburn type?
Yeah.
Maybe. Nah. Maybe like a throw-in, like a Trevor Williams type.
Something like that, yeah. I can see it just to bolster
just
for the playoffs.
Just to have the depth.
Just to have the depth for the playoffs.
You know, they're going to get Brooks Raley back, I believe, end of July, somewhere in that range. Listen, that's going to help them. He's a lefty out of the pen. He's pitched here before. He's always been solid. They need that premier lefty though. So we got to see what's available, what's potentially going to be there. It's going to be interesting. Starting wise, I don't know. Like you mentioned, maybe a guy like a Blackburn. Maybe I could see something like that happen.
I see that happening with the Yankees too. Like they're not going to get a top echelon starter. I do think they're going to go after maybe like a 3 or a 4 type rotation type guy. And then they may go after a lefty. I think they do need another lefty to take the pressure off Tim Hill and Brent Hedrick. I just don't see Hedrick pitching in the postseason. So
I think
you're probably going to have to bolster the left-handed arm in the bullpen. So I see that potentially happening as well. So it's going to be interesting the next 5 or 6 weeks to see what both teams do.
Yeah, and honestly, unfortunately, I'm a Met fan, so leave me alone. I have my bias moments at times. I would hate, even though it makes perfect sense, I would hate for you guys to get Suarez, because it just makes so much sense. It's the perfect fit.
Adrian Suarez,
yeah, it's the perfect fit for you guys. I don't want to even admit it, but it's true.
If it makes sense, well, you know, prospect-wise and whatever we have to give up, maybe it's a little bit of cash, I don't know, but... Whatever they have to do to make it happen, I'm 100% down for it because we need a right-handed bat that has power, and he could provide that in a pinch. So that'll be a great move. Honestly.
No, that is absolutely my opinion. That is the move.
And then you go out and get a guy in the pen. I'll be very happy with that because we're getting Luis Hill back hopefully mid-July. So if that happens, that there's another starter that you gain that you don't have to go out and get on the market.
Yeah. I mean, guys, we kind of just unpacked a ton, bounced around a little bit with the Mets. Hit us in the comment section of the podcast or on Instagram, Twitter. You guys know the deal. You know the spiel that I drop about hitting us with the comments. And I'm going to keep saying it, too, especially on the podcast. We prefer it there for the fact this is how this is this thing is going to get pushed and get some legs. You know, I will say this, though. You guys have been fantastic. The viewership, the listens, the comments, just even, like I've said, the off, not on social media, not on the podcast, the feedback that you and I get, the phone calls, the DMs, our friends.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, that has been amazing. It really has. And I'm not trying to take away from you guys. I'm not trying to force you to comment. I'm just letting you guys know, the more it happens, the more this is going to get pushed. And again, maybe get the legs that we need to get this thing going.
And you guys will be the reason for that.
Yeah.
So we thank you. We thank you for it.
Yeah, we're now, running off of you guys. You know, you guys, again, a lot of podcasts don't make it. You know, and when you and I had first started this, we were doing our research and we found out most podcasts don't make it past like a seventh episode.
Yeah, seven episodes. 78% of podcasts don't get past a seventh episode.
Yeah, so like you and I quarters. Had like a little milestone when we recorded our eighth one.
Yeah.
And we might have mentioned it. I don't remember. We record so much at this point. I'm glad that I'm forgetting what we're recording almost. That means that we're putting stuff
We're approaching 30, so.
That's crazy.
We've tripled the That's average. Crazy.
And you know what? We have you guys to thank.
Yeah.
Because if, I'll be honest with you, it would be a lot harder to have motivation to do this, to record. I mean, listen, this is not what we do for a living. We have jobs, we have families, we have kids, wives, all craziness that goes on. And if we were to sit here and look at viewership and comments where it says, all right, we're getting one or two views, that's tough motivation to keep this thing going.
But we're not. It's overwhelming, actually.
Yeah.
To see how
it's more than
in
I
touch
expected.
You guys are on, you know.
Yeah.
You guys are right there with us, we feel.
Yeah. So, you know, this is you guys. You guys are helping us continue doing this. Because we're seeing it, you know, and that's why I'm saying with the whole comment stuff, it just helps to get some more legs, get some more viewership on our end, you know. So, and again, I can't stress enough, this is because of you guys, the listeners, the guys that are here every week, the guys that are here for every episode. I don't care if you fall behind four or five episodes. It happens. Life gets in the way. I'm not mad at you. And people have reached out to you and myself. I haven't, I'm like three or four episodes behind. I'm so sorry. Whoa, take it easy. No need to apologize.
Yeah, the fact that you're still listening
happens. We get it. Life happens where you guys have seen there's been breaks in between. You and I dealing with sick kids on and off. Your kids got sick. And then guess what? Right when we're getting ready to go, my kid gets sick. Life gets in the way. Things happen. So don't ever apologize to us because you're a couple episodes behind. The fact that it means that much to you is awesome. But you don't have to apologize for that. But again, you're the reason why this show is keep going. You really are. Everybody out there listening to all over.
And the big thing that's impressed me is that there's some people I wouldn't have never guessed to be listening. And they come up to me and say, hey, I love the last episode. It's really awesome that you have this going on. And I'll be like, I didn't even know that you were listening.
Right.
It's like I find something out new every day. So it's honestly, it's you guys. This thing is working because of you guys.
Yeah. We can't stress that enough. We really can't. Shout out Fuzzy.
Shout out the Fuzz. But I just want to bring something up to, you know, headline the last segment of this. Speaking of platforms and Twitter and all that.
Oh, God.
Michael K.
Jobber.
Sorry.
Sorry. He just made, made me really mad.
Here's my thing, right? And I'm a Yankee fan, and I hear him maybe a little bit more than the average baseball fan because he's on the Yankee broadcast and he's got his own show on ESPN. I was a big listener of his show when he was with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
They've since then they've broken up, and Michael K has his own show now that he pilots by himself on ESPN. He got into some type of Twitter beef with Met fans over his report that Soto's mom was an influence in him signing with the Mets. If you're Michael K, you're 64 years old, you're in this business 40 years, you find yourself fighting with Met fans on Twitter? Listen, and a lot of people are giving people flack for their sources and where do they get their information from. These guys are in the business, right? We have to honor what these guys say. They're top echelon guys.
Absolutely.
They're in the business a long time. Maybe Michael K actually does have somebody inside the Mets circle that said Soto's mom was an influence. Guess what? Who cares? If Soto's mom was an influence, who actually cares? That's number one. Number two, who is to say Kay is wrong? We don't know if he's wrong. We don't know if he's right. It's just a report. If people were attacking him for making the report, it's ridiculous. It's a report. John Heyman reported that Austin Judge signed with the San Francisco Giants.
How's he doing, by the way? Like, is he playing well over in San Francisco? Yeah. Does he like it?
Like, things get reported, right?
Shout out, yes, Fuzzy.
Obviously, shout out, Fuzzy. Obviously, that was a wrong report, right? But things get reported. The fact that Michael Kay now is going after these people,
a little ridiculous.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
you're fighting with 19, 20 year olds on Twitter.
Yeah,
Met fans on Twitter,
trolls
that are calling you names or whatever. Yeah, they're stupid for that because we don't know if the report is true. If you know the report is true, just keep it at that.
Yeah.
Why do you have to explain yourself? You're wasting time.
You're Michael Kay.
You're Michael Kay. You have your own show for a reason.
Yeah.
ESPN said you don't need two co-hosts. You could do this on your own for 2 hours, 5 days a week. And God bless you. You've reached the point in your career where you've gone to the point where you could do that. And that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're fighting with people on Twitter? Met fans who are calling you a liar? Why does it have to be addressed? It's never been addressed before. You've never gotten slack before, flack for reporting something that people may not think is true. Who cares what they think? And who cares if Soto's mom really was an influence? Who cares? Some people's wives are influences. If he had a wife, his wife would be an influence. I'm sure she'd say, hey, maybe you should sign here or there because it'd be good for our family.
Yeah.
He's a 26-year-old kid/man. His mom may have said, hey, personally, I think if you go to the Mets, it'll be better. Who cares? And Met fans, why would he be lying? Maybe he does have a source that told him, hey, I found out that Soto's mom was a big influence in this. Who cares?
Well, the thing about that is, I mean, Soto has pretty much come out and made himself, you know, not made himself out to be, but he's admitted, and there's not anything wrong with this, but that he's a very family-oriented guy.
Right, so then Michael Kay's report could be true. And Met fans, what does it matter? And Michael Kay, why are you trying to get back at them? Aren't we bigger and better than this?
Yeah, I really thought that was petty. Now
he should have handled it a different way. He could have literally said, hey, Met fans, I'm just reporting what I heard.
Right.
He's like, oh, you guys are bumbling idiots and you're nimwits.
Yeah, he went a little over the top. My biggest thing was, now, I've seen clips of this on social media, and this is what I don't like. Now, it doesn't paint the entire picture, but the biggest clip that I see, or hear at least, there was a piece that he basically says that lions don't worry about the fleas on their back. And he was referring, obviously, to Met fans. Now, if you take that little piece out of context, that really does look ugly, even though some of his other comments are what I have a problem with. Because, I don't know, I'm a Met fan, and some of it I kind of took personally, but we'll get there in a second. He meant it more for the people that were coming after him and all that. So in that aspect, listen, I'm not gonna bury you on that one. I do understand where you were going with it. When you get that one little clip in that click without the whole piece,
right? Because he mentioned it was a social media beef that he was
so
having.
when you take that little piece out of context and that's what you hear, it's gonna get your blood boiling. I listened. It was about a 5-minute rant, right, give or take. The way he opened it is what upset me as a Met fan. Kind of like Jordan in the Last Dance. I took that personally. And here's where I'm going with this. He said that Met fans can enjoy success. Okay. So if you're going to throw a shot, being on the Yankee side of it, I'm going to throw one back. You want to know why Met fans can't enjoy success? Because Yankee fans do their absolute best to make sure that does not happen. If the Mets are in first place or playing well, you got to throw in that your record is better. If the Mets are doing this or having a good season, or they make the playoffs and the Yankees don't, which is, I know, a rare thing, but if that does happen, you know what else? You know what else we hear? 27 World Championships. It is hard to enjoy our success when we have the nitwit Yankee fans. Since Michael K wants to come after a piece of my fan base, I'm going to go after a piece of his. So the nitwit Yankee fans go out and say 27 World Championships, or we have a better record than you, or we're in first place. We're in first place longer. We have Aaron Judge. It's always some sense of competition. So when we try to enjoy our success, your nitwit fan base, the small portion of it, does things like that. That's why we can't enjoy things. And if you do come out and say that Soto's mom was the reason, because he really wanted to be a Yankee, but his mom pushed him to be a Met. I mean, okay. And then he goes out and says, well, Soto has not denied it. Has anybody actually asked him the question?
I haven't heard that question be asked, but even if it was, and he said, yeah, my family had an influence, are we really going to get upset at that?
Big deal.
Are we really getting upset at that? I don't understand why this is still a thing. I can't even believe that Kay even made this more of a thing. He could have handled this way better. He could have said, why am I being attacked on Twitter for reporting something that was told to me?
Right.
Because then you know what? Now you have the leverage. Now you look like, I didn't make it up. The story was brought to me. He wasn't even digging. Someone said to him, hey, I found out that Soto's mom was a real big influence in him coming here, and that person supposedly works for the Mets. Okay, that's great. Now you're going after these people on Twitter that have nothing else better to do? I thought you had more class than that. If they're going to stoop down low to a level of not knowing what to talk about, and they're going to get after a report, that's ridiculous. But if you're going to now stoop to their level, you're being just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're not making it any better.
And I'll be honest with you, even the report itself, again, like you said, who cares?
And not
the what is the point?
And what success? I'm not trying to be a troll right now.
All right.
What success have the Mets had?
I get what you're saying. Okay.
But seriously, what could they have enjoyed with all the stuff that's gone on?
Well, the last few years, things have been different.
Things have been different. So you don't think that they're enjoying the success?
Right, exactly.
They're enjoying the success.
But he has to make it that we can't enjoy it without complaining about something. Because you come out with a report in the first quarter of the season, not even when he signed. This happened a few weeks ago. We spoke about it on a different episode. Right. You and I flipped out on just about everybody coming out with these ridiculous reports. Like, enough is enough. Let it go. So, Kay, I mean, I'll say this. You put yourself in that category of that looking like a scorned ex. Because you're coming out. Okay, now you're coming out with that? Who cares? To me, that's not newsworthy. Because you have to say that he wanted to be a Yankee?
And then he was saying, oh, Met fans were getting mad at me because I reported that he looked glum. He did look glum. Everybody reported that. Who got mad at just you? There was millions of media personnel.
He was one of them. I definitely went after him a little bit.
He was 100% one of them. But so many people said it. He's making it like he was the only one that noticed that Soto didn't look right.
Right, and then he claimed that it came from people within the Mets. Okay.
And if
everybody saw that for the fact that, like you and I have discussed, and we mentioned it earlier on this exact episode, maybe it was because he wasn't playing well.
Yeah, that's the only...
Not because he's miserable that he's a Met. He was probably miserable that he wasn't playing well.
That's the only answer. It's the only answer. For a normal person to have any logic, it's the only answer.
I mean,
but I'm just not understanding why... And listen... I can understand the Mets fans being upset, but it's just a report.
Yeah. It just got annoying. I'll be honest with you. It got annoying because you had it from all circles.
It didn't make sense on both
14
ends.
Different guys coming out with all these reports, all this, all that, all at once. And it was in the midst of Soto being in the middle of his struggle, which is, like I said, I think we've turned the corner here and the monster is out of the cage.
But, I mean, Carl Ravitch created a whole plane that didn't even exist.
That was the biggest thing that I was
Michael Case
that
wasn't, like, even though he didn't handle it well, all he reported was that he heard that somebody said his mom influenced him in signing here. At least that's potentially true. Carl Ravitch is reporting that there was a Boeing 747 waiting for Soto in Boston that he flew by himself without his teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, we have people being ridiculous, but Met fans, it's just a report that he said that his mom might have been an influence. That's not the worst thing that's ever been reported.
Right.
But Michael Kay, you could have handled that a lot better.
I agree.
There's no reason to lose your top, to blow your top.
I mean,
he blew his top.
Over Twitter.
Over what? Over Met fans? Not believing.
I didn't like the couldn't enjoy it. That was an unnecessary shot for no reason. And if you want reality of it, that's why we can't enjoy anything.
I'm pretty sure you've been enjoying this season.
Of course I have.
It's been a very successful season so far.
Listen, I'm laughing at the fact that the guy we paid all this money didn't start off the season great, and we're having one of the best starts in franchise history. So it just tells me when he gets right, you understand how dangerous this team could potentially be.
Now listen, there's going to be a lot of reports about a lot of things that may not be accurate. And Met fans now are going to have to deal with that because now you guys are a little bit, you're becoming relevant.
I'm going to make a report right now. Fuzzy is a rainbow bagel enthusiast. And I think he also likes rainbow cream cheese.
Oh, he's really a unicorn, huh?
He might be. Yeah, because he got mad at that. He threw that at us, too. Now, Fuzz, we love you. But I told you I was going to be obnoxious.
But speaking of obnoxious, this has to end. It's
listen, he's playing well now. What are you going to say now?
Both teams are first place in the division. They have a decent, comfortable lead. Why can't we just talk about that? I could care less about what Soto's mother said. Right. 8 months ago before he signed. I really don't care. He signed with the Mets. I don't care if his mother was the influence, his cousin, his father, his brothers, his best friend.
The rainbow bagel he ate with Fuzzy.
Yeah, the rainbow bagel he ate with Fuzzy with the rainbow cream cheese and the rainbow iced coffee. Rainbow it up. I could care less. He's not a Yankee. Why are we even talking about this?
And that's why it comes off as a score. And that's why I think those Met fans probably went after him, if I'm being honest.
But because that's fine. But the fact that he plays into
that score and X thing.
But then he played into it even worse.
Right.
By responding.
To me, you look like a buffoon in that aspect. I'm sorry, you do. And then you have to gloat about how successful your radio show was and X, Y, and Z because the people are calling you out, say that your show failed. Like, dude, this is the level that we're on right now?
What do you care about those people saying your show didn't fail? You got your own show. It didn't fail.
Ridiculous. You're doing what you and I wish we could do.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
You're a success. And you responding to these people just shows that they got under your skin.
I'm laughing at it. I'm genuinely laughing at it. Guys, what do you think of that? Did you hear the clip yourself? Because when I first heard that snippet, I said, there's no way this is real. And then you and I, last time we were together, we pulled it up and listened to that 5-minute rant. So, were you privy to this information? Because I thought it was insane. But hit us in the comments. I don't know. I have a fun idea. Why don't you guys comment something to make us upset? And then we'll have a meltdown.
Exactly.
And then it'll be two guys who don't get paid for a podcast yelling and screaming in our comment section. Why not? If this is the level that we're getting to, I don't know. Mets fans, do you agree with what Michael Kay said? That we can't enjoy success? I don't know. I think my theory goes pretty well, like I said, because the nitwit fan base, the small portion, because he also, I will give him that, when he did insult the Met fans and call them nitwits and a couple other derogatory terms, he made sure to say that it's a small portion of it. He only said it once in the beginning of the rant, but still.
It was a social media thing. So
I will say the small portion that is maybe nitwit on the other side of things, I mean,
You're fighting with people on social media, Mike.
They don't do that to us. So that is why sometimes Met fans can enjoy success. Because I feel like the nitwit part of the Yankee fans do what they can to make sure that we can't.
I always say this, and I've mentioned this a million times. The Mets don't have anything to do with the Yankee success. No. And vice versa.
We play each other 4 to 6 games a season.
And those 4 to 6 times do not affect who wins the division. It doesn't affect wild card seating. It doesn't affect us getting into the playoffs.
Bragging rights.
Why is everybody so worried? Though. It's a great series, yeah. But why is everybody so worried the whole year? I don't understand it. The Yankees will never not lose the division due to the Mets playing well. The Yankees will never not make the playoffs because of the Mets playing well, and vice versa. The Mets will never not miss a playoff because the Yankees knocked them out. It won't happen.
Unless they play each other in the last game of the season.
We don't affect each other in that aspect unless we played each other in the World Series.
We just get into each other's skin. That's all.
That's it. And it's all year. It's just unbelievable to me how there's so many other rivalries, and this rivalry seems to just never go away.
Well, the Soto thing has taken over. It really has.
It really has.
And you know, everything that's gone on so far this season, listen, you guys have been listening. You've been there. You've seen it. You watch the games yourself.
Like, I'm worried about the teams in my division. I'm not worried about what the Mets do.
Well, why should you be?
And it should be the same for Mets fans. Worry about the Braves, the Marlins, the Nationals, the Phillies. You're not worried about us.
What do I care that, Jazz Chisholm on ESPN tonight while he was mic'd up did a ballerina play and threw the ball 5 feet over Paul Goldschmidt? Why do I necessarily care? It was funny to see. But what is it? What effect does it have on
me? He did his best Benny Agbayani impression.
Aha! Agbayani didn't do no spinorama and throw it away. He handed the ball to a fan.
Right, souvenir with two outs, right.
Right, all right. It happens. He's not the only guy to do it. And I'll get the other guys.
I think he's the only guy to do it. I've never seen anybody else do that.
No, it's happened before.
That's my favorite thing ever. I don't know why that gets me going. That he just, to me, it reminds me of like an 8-year-old kid in literally.
Well, he ripped the ball back from an 8-year-old fan.
Not knowing how many outs there are, and he throws it like to his dad in the stands. it was amazing to me. So every time there's a blooper, I bring Benny Agbayani up.
Shout out Fuzzy. I heard he likes rainbow bagels.
Benny Agbayani definitely likes rainbow bagels. He threw that ball into the rainbow bagel. Threw a rainbow bagel.
Oh, boy.
No, but listen, at the end of the day, we don't affect the success of our teams. Even when we play each other 6 times a year, it doesn't affect the success. Like I said, the last series is in July. There's 80 games after that. So
right.
Why are we getting so worked up about who's doing what? And Derek Jeter said it best. The Mets are the Mets. They don't affect us unless we play them in the World Series. And that's exactly how it should be. That's the best way to talk about it.
You want
to
know why this is a thing?
Because Juan Soto left the Yankees.
There you go.
I know.
There you go. Because Juan Soto left. But shout out Fuzzy.
Michael Kay. Just before we sign off, stop getting into fights with people on Twitter. Even if they were talking about the Yankees, stop fighting with people on Twitter. It's ridiculous.
I don't even fight with people on Twitter. I'm 30 years younger than you.
You shouldn't have a 5 to 7 minute segment on your show about how you are arguing with these Twitter happy people.
Yeah.
These computer, keyboard warriors. Why are you fighting with these people?
And also, respectfully as possible, take it easy when you're coming at the Mets. Take a step back. Come correct. A little too much. Because that, honestly, the whole thing was just ridiculous. But again, I heard it for what it was. But no, we're not doing that.
And if it was that small of a group, it shouldn't have ever been a thing.
No, never should have bothered you.
He said it.
If anything, you should be happy.
It's a small group on social media. Okay. So a couple people got in your comment section and you got a little bent out
of shape. Listen, if people are hating on you, that means you're doing something right.
Can we just focus on how good both teams are playing?
No, of course not. Of course not.
It's just, I'll never understand why that's not what's talked about.
You want to know why? You want to know the real reason?
Because Fuzzy likes rainbow bagels and, yes! Juan Soto left the Yankees.
Yes. Love it.
I'll never eat a rainbow bagel until the Yankees win the World Series. How about this? If the Mets win the World Series, I will eat a rainbow bagel. I've never had a rainbow bagel.
Really?
Well, did I have a rainbow bagel? No. I've actually never had a rainbow bagel because it's completely tasteless.
Okay.
It's just dye.
yeah.
I've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I thought
it's
it
a plain bagel with some color.
I thought it would taste like cotton candy or something like that.
Yeah. So I was disappointed when I had my first one.
It's very disappointing to me. So yeah. I'm not about the hype. But if the Mets win a World Series before the Yankees do, I will, on a live stream, I will eat a rainbow bagel with cream cheese.
All right, I'll take it.
And I'll pay for it myself.
No, I'll buy it for you.
Okay. No problem.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I like that.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you did hear it here first. Before we get to...
I hope I never eat a rainbow bagel now.
Shout out, Fuzzy.
Sorry.
No, before we get to the trivia question, I just want to get to one last thing. I'll make it quick. I do want to shout out Pete Alonso. We mentioned him earlier. Guy is having a monster season. He's poised to get a big contract. Seems like that's where we're headed. But as of today in the last game, Alonso has surpassed David Wright on the all-time Mets home run board list at 243. He is now 9 shy of tying Darryl Strawberry's record. Now, if you guys remember, I made a very wild, bold statement in our milestone episode. And I said, come the 4th of July weekend series at home against the Yankees, that was when Alonso was going to break that record. I'm getting there. We're getting in the territory.
If he hits like 5 or 6 more, if he hits 5 or 6 more in the next month, he'll be 2 or 3 away. So it's very possible.
That would be a hell of a lot of fun. And for the fact that Darryl has connections to both franchises, I think that would kind of make it a little cool. And just the fact that it would be against the Yankees at home would just be a little like extra to it. It would just be fun. It would add an element to the Subway Series that a player from either side achieved an all-time franchise record against the other. I think that's just cool for the series. It'll be a fun trivia question later on down the road.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
And another thing, I also want to shout out David Wright because within... I don't know, maybe an hour or two. Wright made a video shouting out Alonso, gave him his respects, said he's one of the most prolific power hitters in baseball. He goes, and you got to that mark a hell of a lot faster than I did.
Yeah, it's true.
And he said, Darryl's next, go get him. And I thought that was a class act, but do we expect anything less from David Wright? No. So... that was my little Pete Alonso, David Wright, feel-good moment. Shout out, Fuzzy. But either way. You like how I'm doing? This is great. On to the trivia question. Now, I will say this, because you guys have heard this. And listen, there are a lot of you that don't know who Fuzzy is. And that's fine. You're going to get to know him. You want to know why? Fuzzy, I have a challenge for you. I want your answer to this trivia question in our comments section. I want to see your name with the comments. You came at us about the shout out because we mentioned X, Y, and Z, this person, that person, this person, and you didn't get one. Now you got one. You got damn near a whole show dedicated to you. So what you're going to do in return is you're going to respond to this trivia question, right or wrong, in the comment section. Obviously, we want the rest of you to do so, but Fuzzy, if you're not there, we're going to be very disappointed. And we are going to make sure, we're going to do everything in our power to halt the production of rainbow bagels.
This is unbelievable.
So, the wonderful moment that all of you, I know, can't wait for and itching to hear, our next trivia question. With baseball being... where we are now. The strikeout rates are through the roof. Guys are striking out left and right. Tony Gwynn, one of the greatest hitters that I've ever got to see play the game. How many 3 strikeout games did Tony Gwynn have in his career? One more time. How many 3 strikeout games did Tony Gwynn have in his career? I'll leave it at that. I will say, as always, guys, you know we love you. We know we appreciate the viewership. And like always, thanks for hanging out.